Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? Here to welcome you and say congratulations. You have an 8-4 49ers team, 2 wins to every single loss. The 49ers come out on top 20-9. Not a pretty game. Not a pretty game at all. Plus the horrible, horrible interceptions of the first half. We're going to talk about that with Brock Purdy. But look, a win, you never, ever, ever, ever apologize for wins in the National Football League. Any team can upset any other team any given Sunday. You go out and you spot the opposing team 3 turnovers in the first half and you still win by double digits. Something great must have happened. And the greatness was, very simply, the 49ers defense. Are you freaking kidding me? The 49ers defense comes out. They're the story. We've been talking all week, right? How are the 49ers going to win the game? Elite offense, scoring 30-plus points a game. Special teams. Well, Eddie P gets hurt. He's not out there. Matt Gay came in, did great. Offense was not abysmal. The offense was fine. It was the turnovers. And it wasn't just Brock Purdy's turnovers. Christian McCaffrey had 2 fumbles. Well, 1 true fumble, 1 almost fumble. He's blown dead, so technically that doesn't count. But, like, you were trying to find ways, the 49ers, to give the game to this very, very poor Carolina Panthers team. Like, they were on pace for 140 yards total at halftime. Like, 70 yards in the first half, 3 points off of turnovers. That's it. Like, Carolina Panthers offense was just an absolute joke. Penalties, drop passes, just not a good functioning team. And you have to give credit where credit is due. That goes to the 49ers defense. It goes to Robert Saleh. It goes to number 27, Jair Brown. Player of the game. Player of the game. Not 1 interception. 2 interceptions. 2 picks. And, I'm seeing JJ's going crazy. JJ, and I tweeted this earlier, like, JJ and Nick Scott were going after it multiple times. Multiple times in the game after the whistle. Nick Scott put him on his rear end. He put Nick Scott on. Like, they kept going at it. I don't know who was fighting with whom, but I can guarantee you Juwan Jennings, Nick Scott, those were the 2 guys that were going at it. I can guarantee you that. But the defense, you've got to give it to Robert Saleh in this defense. Jair Brown, obviously the 2 interceptions. But what I was going to say is I would argue even if you took away Jair Brown's first interception and 2nd interception, still the best game of his career. That dude was flying up, making tackles in the run game, had a tackle for loss. He was awesome out in the screen game. Dude just stopped. Like, the biggest problem with 27, 2 things. Dude can't diagnose a play, or at least hasn't been able to diagnose plays well. His feet are always in concrete, and he doesn't like contact. Well, that wasn't an issue today. Wasn't an issue today. So, yeah, hat tip to number 27. By far, one of my least favorite players. Look at this. Hey, Kid Bro, I appreciate the super chat, man. He says, John, I know how big of a fan of Brown you are. But, like, that's the thing. Like, you finally got quality safety play. Malik Mustafa had a good game, but not like an electric, you know, playmaking game. And I said this 2-3 weeks ago on the John and Wayne show, where I was like, dude, could you imagine if the 49ers got positive safety play that helped the team in any way possible, that would transform this defense? Well, neither safety was a liability, and Jair Brown had the game of all games. Unbelievable job. Just off the freaking charts. Awesome. So not a Jair Brown fan. Not a Jair Brown fan at all. If you guys listen to the show, you know that. Dude balled out. And give credit where credit's due. 27, the player of the game. Offense, defense, special teams, 27. Jair Brown was the best player on the field today for the 49ers or Panthers. And that was huge. That interception, that in the end zone, that changed everything, because they started with the ball like about to score, right? So I thought that was huge. Interception end, that kind of iced the game. Several plays, several times over. Jair Brown, player of the game. Never thought I'd say it. Never thought I'd say it. Looked like, let's be honest, we gave him issues whenever he said, oh, I'm a top five safety in this league. For the first time in his entire career, he played like he was a top five safety in his career. And you saw the emotion and celebration from Robert Saleh after both of his plays. Now, how much of that was just you're happy the defense is doing well, you're happy you got those turnovers, you're happy about those things, or is it just, man, 27 finally showed up? Because, yeah, remember, Jair Brown was not a Robert Saleh pick. He was drafted when Robert Saleh was still in New York. So this is an adopted player, right? But, man, it was cool seeing Saleh just go, you know, bonkers, loving every single second of that Jair Brown second interception. It was incredible. Thank you to my man, JP Hellehard. He's the best. Gifted one membership over there on YouTube. Y'all click that. Claim that. Absolutely love it. And so, yeah, the 49ers go out there. They win. They handle their business. They do what they got to do. And now they're 8-4. The 49ers continue just to do every single thing in the world to control their own destiny, to be this playoff team. And I mean, shoot. Now, the negative has nothing to do with the 49ers. Again, you got to control your own destiny. The 49ers have that. The 49ers are now at a 91% chance of making the playoffs. 91. Now, again, you still haven't had your bye week. You're at third in your own division, but now you're 8-4. The 49ers still in the NFL have the most divisional wins, 4-1. They have the most, let me see, is this everybody? Yeah, like they were tied with the Eagles in the entire NFL for most conference wins, not any longer. Eagles lost, right, to the Cowboys, horrible fashion. Now the 49ers have the most conference wins standalone in the entire NFL with 8-2 in conference. No other, the Eagles have 7 conference wins. No other team has 6. Like the 49ers control every single tiebreaker known to man whenever it comes to when they own the tiebreaker against every single team except for the Bucs. That is the only team that if they have the same record, the Bucs would get in if it was a head-to-head. Now, if it's a three-way tie with the Bucs and anybody else, then the 49ers would win because then it'd go to the three-way whatever, and the 49ers would win whatever tiebreaker that is, whether it's divisional record, which Tampa Bay is not in a division, so it wouldn't be that, conference record, you name it, they win it. And even strength of schedule, which is like one of the further down distant tiebreakers, they're ahead of a lot of teams with that, which I think is huge. So the 49ers, like, get used to this. They're playoff bound. No matter how you feel about this season, 49ers are going to the damn playoffs. Like, you take that to the bank. 8-4, and I know, like, every team that we wanted to lose this week won, right? Like, Green Bay won, Seattle won, Tampa. Tampa got blown out. We actually wanted them to win. Bears won, like, Rams won. It was just like, man, Lions won. They didn't get many favors. The only favor the 49ers got this week was the Falcons winning, which they have, the Rams have their first round pick. So that helped. So that bumped that pick out of the top 10 for now. Hopefully that continues. But yeah, you didn't get any help for the NFC, but you handled your business. And if the 49ers continue to win, it doesn't matter what the hell else happens across the NFC. You are in. You are in. You are in. And I think that that is huge. Love that. Flynn, my man, says, John Purdy was butt cheeks today, but what do you think the issue was? Is it something to worry about long term? Is it isolated? So the three interceptions are inexcusable. Yeah, like, you can't do that. The first two interceptions were similar. The third interception had nothing to do with the first two, okay? So what were the issues with Brock Purdy? And like, oh, man, he's not stepping into his throws. That wasn't the issue on the first interception at all. He read it perfectly. Well, I wouldn't say read it perfectly. He had Juwan Jennings by a step. There was a safety that was there, but Juwan Jennings was right. He just threw the ball behind him. It was the right read. Did have a check down that he could have went to, but greedy Purdy, that ain't going to change. That's why Kyle Shanahan loves him. The first interception was just, it was a good decision. None of the interceptions, this is what's crazy, and I'm sure somebody's going to disagree with me. None of the interceptions were poor decisions. They were poor execution, poor ball placement. That was it, like literally it. So the first one, Juwan Jennings was ahead of him. You threw it on the back shoulder. J.C. Horn just wanted it more than Juwan Jennings. It was a bad pass, bad placement. That was it. J.C. Horn's a hell of a player. Dude's a baller. And he went and just took it. The read was right. He had steps on him. He had inside leverage. You just threw it behind him. You have to lead him down and away on that throw with the single high safety. He didn't do that. That's what the problem was. And he stepped into it. Now, people are like, oh, well, he just ain't got the zip that he used to have. Brock Purdy's never had zip, ever, 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 ever. This has been my thing with Brock for the longest time. I'm very thankful Brock Purdy's our quarterback. I'm very thankful Brock Purdy will continue to be the quarterback of the 49ers. This is not a go get Mac Jones and see what he could do. No. All the decisions were fine. It's just the ball placement and whatever wasn't there. And he ain't got zip. He stepped into it. Brock Purdy ain't ever had zip. Brock Purdy's never going to have zip. Now, this wasn't as bad as the Jacksonville throws. Those interceptions were god-awful because those floated like crazy. There's a difference between floating and just not having zip. Brock's never had zip. Ever. Never going to. Never had it. Never, ever, ever going to do it. Like, it's just say that for whatever it is. Now, the second interception, man, perfect one-on-one coverage. Ricky Pearsall won his route. You just threw it behind him again. Perfect read. Perfect delivery. Now, the problem was, like, this one you can't get into foot stuff because he's running. He was scrambling towards the line of scrimmage. So, like, he wasn't throwing from a platform. He was throwing on the run and lobbed it, and it was behind him. Like, that ain't a zip issue. That is 100% just placement issue. That's all that was. And that's why Brock was so mad, because he had a free touchdown to Ricky Pearsall, and he missed it. And he missed it because of placement, because of execution. Had nothing to do with the toe. Had nothing to do with, like, zip. Had nothing to do with that. Just a bad pass. Just a bad pass. Bad execution. That's the second one.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. It's the holiday season. The best time of the year for sports, bowl games, basketball matchups, playoff pushes. It's all happening at once. And while you and I are out here making decisions every day, what gifts to buy, what to eat, which game to watch, there is one place where it feels good to be right: Prize Picks. My favorite thing about Prize Picks is picking multiple sports in the same lineup. With basketball back, I could put Steph Curry and Christian McCaffrey in the same lineup for both. And a new feature alert on Prize Picks now has early payouts. If your lineup gets off to a hot start, you may now have the option to cash out those winnings before the game even finishes. Prize Picks is simple to play. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. George Kittle, more or less 58.5 receiving yards. Juwan Jennings, more or less 46.5 receiving yards. Ricky Pearsall, more or less than 4 receptions. It's that simple. So, download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. And it's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more to elevate your smoking experience. Now, it's football season, and there is nothing more perfect for tailgating with your buddies or enjoying at home while watching the game. And with fast, free shipping and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. So, use code 49ers, that's 49ERS at checkout, for 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping. Or visit CigarsInternational.com/49ers and the discount will automatically apply. You got a buddy's birthday coming up and you don't know what to get them? Cigars International. You got Christmas gifts that people keep asking, what do you want? What do you want? You tell them. Go to CigarsInternational.com/49ers and get your gift there.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers. But that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Make your holidays extra merry with Pennzoil salons and spas. From fresh haircuts and glowing facials to manicures, massage, and more, Pennzoil has it all. When you give a Pennzoil gift card, you're gifting an experience. Salon and spa services, beauty products, coffee, cocktails, and more. Order online at PennzoilSalons.com or stop by any of our 6 Central Ohio salons and spas. Need it fast? We've got expedited shipping. Self-care is the merriest gift of all. This season, give Pennzoil.
Hi, it's Dave and Jimmy with breaking news about the district at Berkshire.
That's the place we've been telling you about, right by Tanger Outlet Malls, 10 minutes from Polaris. You can live there, and you can live there rent-free until February.
Repeating the top story, live free till February at the district at Berkshire.
Place is gorgeous. Starbucks in the clubhouse, 24-hour fitness center if you like to pump iron like me at 3 a.m. Right by Tanger, right by Polaris, and free until February.
The District at Berkshire brought to you by Champion. Go to livewithchampion.com, livewithchampion.com.
Now, the third one, I would argue, one, Brock Purdy ain't got zip. He's never going to have it. Doesn't mean he can't be successful. Obviously, he can. But, like, you're reading right to left, and it's just it's the drift sale concept where he breaks in. That deep end breaker, and you're waiting for it against zone coverage. He hits the pocket. Now, maybe it was a little bit late. That would probably be the coaching point. You have to throw a little bit more with anticipation, get it out earlier. But there was no clear out route on the backside for J.C. Horn. It was zone coverage. So he reads, you know, usually 1-2 on that backside. Number one, outside eligible wide receiver to two, sometimes 2-1, but there was just one guy over there. Dude just ran like an inside breaker. It was Juwan Jennings, so there was no outside threat. So he just starts reading the quarterback's eyes and just drifts over. It just picked it off. Like, there is no quarterback in the NFL that reads the backside corner on a route drift concept. There's not one. So you want that one, you want to blame on Shanahan. You want to blame it on what somebody maybe didn't run their clear out route, whatever else. I don't know. But, like, that had nothing to do with the toe. Yeah, if Brett Favre was throwing it, would it have been intercepted? Probably not, but maybe should have thrown it earlier. That is about it. And you can't really look off to the left. There's no eligibles to the left side. There was nothing. He cleared off to the inside. That was the problem. That was a chalkboard issue because you're telling your quarterback, look, you get this zone drop. You're waiting for Ricky Pearsall to break past that inside shoulder of the outside 5-7 dropper, whether it's a linebacker, nickel, safety, whomever. The window was there. It's just J.C. Horn made a freak play. That's all that was. So you look at all three of these interceptions, right? I'm going to argue none of them were bad choices. And you even heard Kyle Shanahan at half, if you were watching the broadcast, where he was like, look, he's like, yeah, all of them are good choices. Just you got to lead them. You can't put it behind them, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was like, oh, man, I'm very thankful. I'm not the only one that's seeing this. Like, they weren't bad choices. That is why you ride with Brock, because they are good choices, because he's a great choice quarterback. He operates. And you look at his stats for the game, 22 of 32 passing. That's great. 193, not great. But again, you took away and you told him in the fourth quarter, dude, we're up two scores. We're not taking deep ball chances. We're nickel and diming the rest of the game. And that worked. But 23 of 32, like, efficiency was there from a quarterback standpoint. Just those two missed throws that were behind him, and then freak play by the corner. Like, that was just a freak. And it piles. I've been a part of these games as a coach and a player where it's just like, damn, nothing's going right. And I put out there on Twitter, if I'm coaching Purdy, I'm saying grip it and rip it, man. Like, we're not freaking – you got to go. We got to play like it's a competitive game, and we're going to need you to be greedy still. But the game never got to that point because the Niners were up two possessions pretty much the entire time. Even whenever they scored to get it down to seven, Jordan Elliott has the penalty, you know, going off the long snapper, which I showed you guys in our the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon where we do every special day. I told you just this last week. I was like, that's a penalty. Like, he's going to get called for this. And sure enough, this week, it was a penalty, got called for it. Well, then the Panthers go for two, and they don't get it. Why? Alfred Collins, tip pass. I said Alfred Collins is going to get two tip passes. He only got one, and it's not even going to show up in the stat sheet because it was a two-point conversion, so I'm a little upset about that. But shout out to Alfred Collins, affected in a positive way. But it got down to eight points. That was the closest the game got. You end up winning by 11. But I'm here to say this, and I'm sure we'll get more takes and more questions about Brock Purdy. I'm not overly concerned about Brock Purdy. I don't think Kyle Shanahan is overly concerned about Brock Purdy. I don't think the 49ers players are overly concerned about Brock Purdy. Now, when somebody throws three interceptions in the first half, yeah, the fans and, you know, media and whatever else, they're going to jump on that, especially after what Mac Jones has done. But I'm not overly concerned. Do you want to know what I am overly concerned about? If I want to be very, very honest with you, next week in Cleveland, it's going to be raining. That I'm concerned about. So that I'm concerned with Brock Purdy in the rain. And I've said this many times on this broadcast. I will never bet on the 49ers if there is any precipitation, snow, rain, whatever. Yeah, I ain't doing that. So we'll have to monitor what that's going to look like. I mean, shoot, the last time Brock Purdy played in Cleveland, they lost. It was raining, multiple interceptions, couldn't hold the ball, all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm just saying, I'm hoping it's not going to be that way. Right now, it's looking like it's going to rain in Cleveland. So I, like, that is what concerns me most about Brock Purdy. Does that mean he shouldn't be your quarterback? No, he should be, just because you can't quote unquote play in the rain and, you know, whatever else. Like, that's what it is. And I know every single time I bring it up, like, people are like, yeah, but then the Seattle playoff game, you know, he was awesome. I was there. He was awesome. He was great. But yeah, that's my biggest concern, is back-to-back games. Let's say it does rain against the Browns, who are an elite defense. Panthers, not a good defense. That happens, and then he has another one. Let's see. We'll have to see what that is. Ben says, you know, the forecast has changed a couple times. Hope for dry. Don't care about wind. Don't care about, like, temperature. I care about precipitation, just because we have seen it so many times. So many times. And Filthy Casual says, yeah, I hope Shedeur Sanders is also bad in the rain. So we'll see. Right? Rain plus Brock is bad. I'm telling you, that I'm scared to death of that. But Philip, he says, did you see JJ start the fight after the game? I did not, but I am not shocked. And I, if he doesn't get suspended, let me just say this. If Juwan Jennings doesn't get suspended, then I'm okay. Maybe I'm in the minority there, but I don't really care. I want the fight. And on Juwan Jennings' touchdown, you saw it. Like, that was cool as hell. Like, dude's playing with fight. He's playing with energy. He's, like, trying to bully people. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. Guy hooks JJ in the crotch. Oh, man. Yeah, right in the digger. That's not good. So, yeah, I was setting up the show and all that stuff. I missed that late part, but shoot, man. Let's get some celebrity deathmatch out there and, like, let's get it on, baby. I absolutely love, like, the darker side to I like sports fights personally. I know I'm a weirdo, but I like the aggressiveness. I love Drake Greenlaw. I freaking love Draymond Green. I love those dudes. Those are my favorite players. They always are. Like I it's what it is. Now, if you guys are coming out to Cleveland, we're going to be out there, which I'm super excited. Details we just announced up on our site. We'll be at Butcher and the Brewer Saturday from 3 to 7 p.m. It's right there on 4th Street, downtown Cleveland. Going to be an absolute banger. Really, really excited about this party. And then we got a tailgate. Our tailgates are always off the charts. 3 blocks from the stadiums at the Dive Bar Cleveland, which if you've been there, it's awesome. They got like indoor arcade, drinks, food, going to be off the chart. And if the rain is terrible, guess what? We're indoors for this one. And so that way we did this. We kind of had to switch last minute because I was like, man, I don't think we want to be out there 9 a.m. and like wet, cold rain. So we're going to be indoors and then we're just going to go 3 blocks to the stadium, have a good time, hopefully get that win. But you're going to go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com to get those tickets. You can click on the link in the description of this video or audio podcast, or you can go on TickPick, which is probably the best way. Just search 49ers Rush. All of our events pick up. And man, if you haven't been to an event yet, this is what they're like.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its 6th year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Oh, I freaking love it, man. So come out, party with us. We're going to have a good time out in Cleveland. I would appreciate you come out. I did just see the uppercut to the nether regions. Not cool, Trevor Moorwig. Not clue. Once a Raider, always a Raider, I say. Anyway, S1K Friday. Appreciate the super chat. Now that BA is out and all that money's freed up, will JJ go back to the JJ we know and love? Well, we know one thing about Juwan Jennings. Money is the number one motivator for him. Didn't used to be, but it is now. And so that is a possibility. And if you look at what Juwan Jennings was able to go out there and do, 5 catches on 7 targets. I could think of no negative plays. That's the first. Like, the problem with the 49ers this season, you could even say even in this game that you won, is consistency. That's the biggest issue. The injuries, for sure, but the players are not consistently positive. Obviously, Brock Purdy wasn't today, despite what we just went through. And well, like whatever else, Christian McCaffrey was awesome. But, man, that fumble. Dude, if Colton McKivitz doesn't get that fumble, that could have changed big time. But, like, consistency from an offensive standpoint. Well, Juwan Jennings had his most consistent game of the year. Was it his most catches? No. Was it his most yards? No. Was it his most targets? No. But not being a negative, not getting the misalignments, not getting the missed blocks. We'll have to go through all the tape for sure. But like doing what you need to do with a little bit extra fight, which is what that touchdown was. His longest catch was 12 yards. But he didn't cost his team. Even whenever he got in a fight, he waited until the game was over, which I appreciate that. And so, man, you could use a Juwan Jennings. You really, really could. And, you know, I feel bad because Ricky Pearsall had another quote-unquote bad game. Awesome blocks out there. But, again, 2 of the interceptions were to Pearsall. Should have had another touchdown. Should have had a touchdown last week. Ben Barsh missed a block. So, like, I'm not overly concerned about Ricky Pearsall. But, man, I do feel bad. Those were the only bets we missed this week. We bet big. You know, we hit. We got 1, 2, 3, 4. We got 4 bets right. We missed 2 bets. And they were both Ricky Pearsall bets. So, like, we did pretty good this week on the betting format. But I'm not overly concerned about Pearsall moving forward. George Kittle continues just to be a beast. 6 catches on 10 targets, 78 receptions. And Christian McCaffrey. dude was on pace for 44 touches after the first quarter. Like, you look at just, like, talk about lean. He got the first 5 touches of the game, Christian McCaffrey. 9 touches on the first drive. Had 11 total touches in the first quarter. Finished with 31 touches. Get to some crazy areas. 24 rush attempts for 89 yards, 3.7. Not great, not bad. Had the touchdown. 17 yard was his longest. But that's the thing. You look at the passing. 7 targets, 7 catches, 53 yards. Dude has had 100 yard total yards from scrimmage 10 times this season. You've only played 12 games. Dude is just 100 yards and a touchdown every freaking game. Every freaking game. And, you know, we've been doing the rush road trips for so long now. We were at the Christian McCaffrey last game for the Panthers out there. It was awesome. That was I love going to games in Charlotte. The stadium's not the nicest, but I love where it's at. Dude, they were passing out Fire Matt Rule t-shirts as we were walking in. We took over the whole stadium. We beat their rear ends. Then they trade us Christian McCaffrey. Then we take their coach. Like, it was awesome. And to where we are now. Like, CMC, what would you do without him? I don't know. And, I really wish he would not get 31 targets or touches every single game. But you got to do what you got to do. And right there, yeah. Kyle tried to get CMC his revenge game, which man, I freaking loved it. It was a good game. CMC looked great. That fumble scared the hell out of me. Man, Johnny on the spot, freaking Colton McKivitz, because that would have been 4. That would have been 4 turnovers at that point in the first half. And that was on the first play of the drive, too. First play of the drive, he fumbles, goes through 2 Panthers' hands. Colton McKivitz, opposite. He was the right tackle on the left side of the field outside the numbers. Dude, talk about effort. Dude went out there and got the ball. Absolutely loved it. That could have been a game. The Niners tried to give this game away. But the defense, all right, I'm just going to keep going back to the defense, just kept answering. And it didn't matter. Like, Curtis Robinson out there, awesome. Jackson Pinnock out there, awesome. Darrell Luter Jr. was in late. I don't know what happened to Renardo Green. We got no updates there. Dude was making plays. Like, not great plays, but still was out there. Like, it doesn't matter. Cleveland Farrell was a healthy scratch last week. Got a sack. You're just doing what you got to do to win. Was that a sexy win? Did anybody watch Monday Night Football tonight and be like, man, those Niners are dangerous to themselves, right? Like, to themselves, like, but you're doing what you got to do. And now you're 8-4. You're still the 7th seed, but you have a full game lead, half game lead, because the Lions are 7-4 behind you. So if you lost and they didn't win, like if you had a tie record with them, man, you've got them in spades because you're 8-2 in the division. They're 4-3. You've got them on strength victory. There's only 3 teams that you don't beat out with strength of victory, which is the last tiebreaker. It goes head to head, divisional record, conference record, strength of victory. Those are the 4, right? And so Niners aren't losing to anybody with the conference or what's it called? The only team that you could lose to. Well, you got to win the Seattle game, right? Like, even if you win the Seattle game, like, you are tied with the Rams because you both went 1-on-1. And that's assuming the Rams beat Seattle again, and that's assuming you beat Seattle. So, like, that's there. But nobody has a better divisional record than you if you win that last Seattle game. Nobody's going to have a better conference record than you. Everybody else in the conference has at least 2 losses already. And, shoot, you got the Eagles at 7-2. You got 8-2. Conference freaking record, best in the NFL. So, like, any tie, you win. Any tie, you win, the 49ers. 91% chance to go to the playoffs. Now, the schedule, the easy part of the schedule is kind of over. And I know Cleveland has been seen as like, oh, well, that's like an easy game, right? Yeah, they've won 3 games. They're not a good football team. Shedeur Sanders is starting. But with the weather there, and the precipitation, that's not an easy game. Tennessee Titans, after the bye week, that's an easy game at home. Are they playing better? Sure. But are they a good team? No. No, they are not. Colts, definitely not easy. Bears, definitely not easy. Seahawks, definitely not easy. So you've got one easy game, Titans. One game you should win that will not be easy against Myles Garrett and the weather and whatever else. But, man, you're at 8 wins. You get to 10 wins. However you do it, you're in the playoffs. Guaranteed with the tiebreaker schedule. Guaranteed. Not guaranteed, but like 95, 96% chance probably. You got to get 2 wins out of Browns, Titans, Colts, Bears, Seahawks. You get 2 wins, you're in. You get 3 wins. All right. Now you're talking. But like, you just got to get in the playoffs. You get in the playoffs, who knows what could happen? Who knows what could happen? Freaking go get it, man. Ah, Niners win. I freaking love it, man. Now, I want to get to some more of your comments that I've got starred. I want to get to some more of my notes, which I've got a lot of those. I thought the coaching was off the charts, even from a Shanahan standpoint. Special teams continue to dominate it right after this. Turkey, football, bad decisions, the Holy Trinity. MyBookie gives you a chance to make it all profitable. This week, MyBookie is loading the table with cash drops, boosted lines, same game parlays, and capped with a bomb on Black Friday, the return of the lock of the season. This is the bet every bettor talks about because it doesn't miss. One touchdown in the Black Friday game versus the Bears and Eagles. One trip to the end zone, you double your money. It is the for any team, any player, doesn't matter. One touchdown in the game, you double your money. It's the simplest bet you'll ever make. That's why I love MyBookie. And if you're watching the game with friends, they'll give you an extra bonus every time one of them signs up and makes a deposit. So bring a buddy in, stack your account while you guys win together. Start with my promo code 49ers. That's 49ERS when you sign up and grab a welcome bonus to get ahead. Load up, lock in, and enjoy the feast at MyBookie. Shout out to my main man, Tommy. Appreciate the super chat. He says, Purdy was dog trash. Should have been 40-9. That is correct. Definitely should have been 40-9. You completely handled that entire team. 20-9 did not reflect how dominant the defense was, special teams, offense was. Like, you completely handled this team. And you look at just 23 first downs to 12. Are you kidding me? They only converted one third down, one of seven. 49ers went 7-13, 2 of 2 on fourth downs. I loved how aggressive they were. And again, even the aggressiveness in the fourth quarter, you know, running that quarterback sneak on 3rd and 2.5, I thought was very smart. Even if you don't get it, you get up there, go again. You go for it on fourth to ice the game. And even those were like, we're going to be safe, conservative, and run the ball, keep the clock going, all that stuff. It was so weird how the Panthers just had no sense of urgency. They were down 2 scores late in the fourth, and they were getting a delay a game call because they just no sense of urgency. Not until about 6 minutes in the fourth quarter, it was just like, what are y'all doing? Like, speed the thing up. And if you want to know, like, the thing that upset me most about Brock Purdy, look at Zelder. Sad to hear John drink the Brock Kool-Aid. Where were you last week? That was weird. Were you celebrating that 40-point win? Oh, cool. All right. Wonder why you got that one. Like, be consistent. I'm being consistent. Like, I do not think going – did Brock have a good game? No. Absolutely not. Those two interceptions were horrible passes. Good decisions, just bad passes. The third interception was not on Brock. Wasn't on Ricky Pearsall either. Get the ball out earlier. That would be the lesson, but just freak play there. But Broncos 23 of 32, managed it on third downs. Goes, what was he? 2 of 3 in the red zone? Yeah, 2 of 3 in the red zone. Yeah, the turnovers were awful. You should lose. You throw 3 interceptions, you should lose 95% of those games. But they didn't. The defense held their own. And yeah, Brock Purdy's a damn good quarterback. Was this a good performance? Come on, man. Yeah, Zelder, I think Zelder's on a little rant. That's okay. That's okay. If you hate Brock Purdy, hate Brock Purdy. But show up after you put up 40 points. Don't just show up on this time. Like, be consistent. Is Brock Purdy a top 5 quarterback this year? God, no. Not even close. Are the 49ers better with Brock Purdy than Mac Jones? Yes, I 100% believe that. Does Kyle Shanahan believe that? Yes. Does that mean Mac Jones is bad? Absolutely not. Mac Jones is going to dink and dunk in efficiency, EPA, the lights out. But what was the most points, Brock, that Mac Jones got in any game? You see the difference there? You look at the scoring drives of the 49ers. You come out 15 plays, 72-yard, 8 minutes, 43 seconds, touchdown drive. Awesome. I mean, the next touchdown drive, 13 plays, 80 yards, 7:43 off the clock. Incredible. Fourth quarter, 10 plays, 59 yards, 6.5 minutes off the clock, field goal. Like, those three drives were awesome. Now, you take away those interceptions, which you can't do, right? Like, you got to hold both. You got to hold both. Brock Purdy is operating this offense at a very, very, very stable pace. Were those two bad throws? They weren't even bad choices. Whenever you got Mac Jones out there, you're not getting the scrambles, you're not getting the elusiveness in the pocket, and you're not getting the deep throws. You could argue, well, you're not getting the deep throws with Brock either, and he's been awful at deep throws this year. He has been. But you look at him collectively through what he's done through his career, you can't say that. You can't say that. So I do not believe this was a good game. This is one of Brock's worst games ever. But he did enough to win. A lot of that was the defense. And if you had to shoot out late, maybe that would have been different. Shanahan was super smart. I love the way he handled the end of the game. Draw plays, keeping the clock going, all that stuff. You want to know what made me the most upset about Brock Purdy? Like, I got livid. I was yelling four-letter words in my living room. My wife was upset. That delay of game with, like, 4 minutes left, that was bullshit. Like, that was the stupidest thing Brock Purdy did all game. That stupid delay. You saw Shanahan on the sideline cussing. Like, that's inexcusable. Like, having a perfect, you know, reading Ricky Pearsall winning on a post route one-on-one with a corner in the end zone while you're scrambling towards the line of scrimmage, that was a great decision, just bad throw. But, like, that stupid delay of game could have cost them the game, because push you back 5 yards, they run a pass play, and they have to punt on fourth and four. Without that delay game, that's a first down. There were 4 minutes left. Like, I lost my shit at that one. And, yeah, filthy casual. Like, Kyle looked pissed after that Brock audibled with the clock right. Kyle should have called the timeout at 1 second there. I was very upset. I was like, call timeout! Call timeout! Like, once he audibled there, I was like, what are you doing? He just didn't know. It was lack of awareness, lack of the play clock, and that hurt him big time, big time, big time. Now, Panthers didn't capitalize on it, right? Nobody's going to remember that. But, like, if you're looking for a Brock Purdy critique, that is where that should be number one. That, I guarantee you, that's where it's going to be number one for Kyle. Like, yeah, the turnovers, that sucks. But, like, every turnover has a story. What is the story? Right read, bad pass. Right read, bad pass. Freak play by the backside corner. You didn't draw it up right. Or somebody ran the wrong route. Get the ball out faster. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what it is you want me to do. These are my takes. And that's okay if you disagree. Disagreeing is good. And I feel like we have to agree on everything. We don't have to agree. If you think Brock Purdy's dog shit, that is okay. I'm thankful you're here. And we could debate those issues. But I'm sorry, Brock Purdy was not the worst quarterback on that game field tonight. Now, is it saying much to say Brock Purdy's better than Bryce Young? I get that. It's a low bar. But it was enough to get to 8-4 today. It was enough to get to 8-4 today. And yeah, it was Purdy's fault. Yeah, bad pass is Purdy's fault. Like, I don't know. The floating passes thing, yeah, you got to layer that pass. There's a freaking, it was a three deep, four under on the first interception. He beat the outside corner who had the outside third. And you have linebackers in the middle. You have to layer that. But the second interception, that one you're supposed to layer. You just got to throw it out in front of them. And then the third one, sure. Third one, yeah, Brett Favre doesn't get that intercepted. That is factual. Brett Favre's not great at those. Well, he was pretty good at those. But, like, Holmgren ran the same concept. You don't read the backside left corner on a right freaking drift. Nobody in the NFL does that. It was a bad X's and O's. It's what it is. And this is Joseph. I appreciate you, man. Defense was impressive. The defense was awesome. Defense was awesome. Three and out to start the game. You allowed one first down in three possessions. You gave up 3 points on three turnovers. That's uncanny. 3 points allowed on three turnovers. And so, like, you look at those Brock interceptions, they didn't cost you. Now, that's complimentary football, right? Like, the definition of complimentary is like we all help each other out. The offense has been the best. The defense has sucked balls almost all season, especially with the injuries, right? Defense was awesome. And so, at a time where the offense wasn't great, and I said, like, I fully expected a 30-point game, and the offense played well enough for a 30-point game. Those turnovers cost you. But the defense finally showed up, and you won two possessions of the game, two phases of the game. You won special teams. They missed the kick. You had an awesome return from Sky Moore again. Punt team was consistent, pretty good. Kickoff coverage was awesome. Like, you won special teams. You won defense. You win two out of three phases, you should win the game. You should win the game. And guess what? The 49ers won the game. A lot of that was because of defense. Now, Curtis Robinson played fairly well, had two major missed tackles. And in my preview episode, I said, if the 49ers tackle well, I should have cut this clip. I said, if the 49ers tackle well, the 49ers could be down 2-0 in the turnover battle and still win. It's in my freaking notes. Now, the 49ers were down 1 and still won by double digits. So, like, they tackled very, very well. You didn't have to miss tackles from D Winners. You didn't have to miss tackles from Jair Brown. You didn't have to miss tackles from Malik Mustafa. You had two major missed tackles from Curtis Robinson. You had a major missed tackle from Bryce Huff, who was making an elite hustle play. So that one's like not even there. But man, freaking awesome. And you know what? I'm looking at my notes now. I don't think Green got injured. I think he got benched because the biggest play that the Panthers had was that double move late to Tet. And it was like, dude, why are you biting on a double move? I think we were in cover three at that standpoint. You got to be deeper than the deepest. I think they put D-Lew and Darrell Luter Jr. in after that. And because mentality, Green had a good game, but you can't do that. Like, we go to Brock Purdy and the interceptions, right? Like, from a coaching standpoint, how do you correct? How do you understand? I argue, and these are the words of Kyle Shanahan too, they weren't bad choices. They were the right reads, just didn't throw it right. But then you look at Renardo Green. Dude, that is just dumb. You can't bite. You're up two scores in the fourth quarter. You can't bite on a underneath stop route to Tet McMillan. You can't do that, right? So, like, it's all about the brain bucket upstairs. You can't handle that. And we saw Renardo Green get benched the week before because of the penalty he got because he couldn't keep his cool. That's decision-making process. So, like, from a coaching standpoint, now Robert Saleh runs his side of the ball much different than Kyle does. Obviously, everybody's going to do it different. But the decision-making process. Now, Renardo Green's young, and he's going to be all right. And overall was a good game. One play doesn't define you. But I like, personally, I'm a little closer to the Steve Spurrier mindset. Like, dude, bad decisions come at a cost. It's a little bit different whenever you're a quarterback making what you are and you've got all those playoff wins versus a sophomore season back-to-back bad decision game. Now, I know a lot of people would disagree with me on this. B40 says, love the positivity. This is how I feel, man. The Niners are 8-4, and I know a lot of people are going to be very upset, and rightfully so, and I think that the interceptions need to be critiqued. I do. But I also, like, man, you're 8-4. You're in the playoffs right now. You're handling business. You beat a team that you were supposed to beat. You were favored by 6.5. You won by 11 with three turnovers, but you forced to. Jair Brown, player of the game. Jair Brown, player of the game. Oh, I freaking love that. Dude, I love when I'm wrong. Look at Tommy. He says, John, Tig played his ass off 100%. And, you know, I said this earlier, and I believe this. I would say Jair Brown had the best game of his career, even without one interception. He had two. 5 tackles, 4 solo tackles. That's not a Jair Brown staple. He is not a good tackler. He is not aggressive. He was this week. 4 solo tackles, 2 passes defensed, 2 interceptions. They didn't give him credit for a tackle for loss. It was right on the line of scrimmage. That bothers me. Yeah, Jair Brown played his player of the game.
Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Buyers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
While many kids are dreaming of holiday gifts and festive parties, the young patients at Nationwide Children's Hospital simply wish they could be home. But by donating to Light Up the Lawn, Light Up a Life, you have the power to give them the gift of hope. Help Nationwide Children's provide compassionate care, seek new treatments, and ensure every child receives the bright future they deserve. And every donation counts. Make a difference and light up a life today. Donate now at nationwidechildrens.org/give.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. SpringHill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
49ers, Panthers, offense, defense, special teams. The number one player on that field, Jair freaking Brown. Yeah, right there. Jair's best game. I freaking loved it. Trey Hall, appreciate you, man. Thank you for the super chat. He says, I still trust Purdy. He's elite. Just had bad game. It was his third game. Kyle only let him throw 9 times in the second half. Does Kyle trust him? I think the play, like, and I even tweeted this out. Let me go back through it because I want to make sure I get the timestamp and all those things right. Because I was like, man, this is, yeah, right here. So I said 49ers already 23 rush attempts halfway through the third quarter. They're slowing down the game and limiting possessions. And then I, like, right after that, I said Panthers are running down the clock all the way as well. Very strange, down 14. Like, and this is, the Panthers are third in the NFL in time of possession. This is how they win. The Panthers were down 14 points last week in the fourth quarter and came back and won. They stay committed to the run game, period. And a lot of their big plays in the fourth quarter, 2 of their biggest plays were run plays. So, like, they're not changing their trend. They should have ran some tempo late, but it worked for them last week against the Falcons. Didn't work this week. And so I'm not putting a lot in. I mean, Brock Purdy threw the ball 32 times. That covered, like, that was more than the betting spreads had. I think 30 and a half pass attempts. Like, it's not like Kyle was, oh, we're not going to throw the ball. I know 9 times in the second half, but you were just leaning, you know what I mean? Just running the ball and keeping that clock going. You're up 2 possessions. Why not? Yeah, 49ers should have won. It should have been a 40-6 game. Like, this should have been a rout. The turnovers didn't help with that. And the only touchdown that was given up was Renardo Green biting on that double. That was the killer. That was the killer. Look at this. Ronald McCree. He says, John, I just want to hear you say Jay Brown is a baller. Dude is today. Jair Brown is a baller today. Best game. Best game of his career. Yeah, you build on that. This Niners defense, like, and that's the thing. You've had horrible safety play all year long. The pass rush wasn't even great when Bosa was here. obviously was better. But, like, man, if you get quality safety play, Malik Mustafa was awesome, too. Like, he led the team in tackles. He had 7 solo stops as a safety. It's not ideal. 1 tackle for loss. Like, Malik Mustafa was awesome. You're not getting hurt. Like, Upton Stout was awesome. All your corners were awesome. Renardo Green had that 1 bad play. It was a touchdown, and it's killer, and he got benched for it. But, man, and here's the question. Can our defense continue to have great play? Can they continue to play like a top 10 defense? You can next week against the Browns, but then you get a bye week. Then you get the Titans. Like, yes, these next 2 games, yes. Then you play the Colts, different story. But that's a month away. That's December 14th. Like, the Niners are about to get a bye week. That is huge. You got to survive Cleveland, which, with the weather, that's my biggest concern. Their defense, obviously, Myles Garrett's the best player in the NFL right now, regardless of position. He's the historic season. And outside of just Myles Garrett, their defense is pretty badass. Offense, not great. Offensive weapons, not great. Now, they got some young electricity there, but yeah, I mean, it's a very winnable game. The 49ers are going to be favored. If it rains, we'll see. We'll see. Filthy Casual says, funny how Troy said it was smart to take Kyle took the ball out of Brock's hands. Yeah, why wouldn't you? With what's going on right there, like, not so much, yeah, you take the ball out of Brock's hands, but just, man, milk the clock. Just milk the clock. Like, that seems pretty easy to me. But I don't know. Like, I think Troy knows what the hell he's talking about. But yeah, man, just like freaking, whew. Just keep the clock going. And that worked. You bled it out. And shoot, I want to see what time of possession was, because the Niners freaking, yeah, 37-42 for the Niners, 22-18. The Panthers were the 3rd best in the NFL in time of possession. You freaking dominated the hell out of that. 23 first downs to 12. Whew. I freaking love it, man. Yeah. And, you know, the yards per play, the Panthers had more than the Niners. But it doesn't matter when you run the ball 38 times. You control that. 38 rush attempts for 147 yards. Incredible, man. And they only ran the ball for 69, the Panthers. 49ers ran for 147. Penalties, man, the 49ers are turning into a well-coached team without all the penalties. You had 2 penalties for 6 yards. You had 1 penalty last week. Golly, man. This is a good game. I know people are upset. And you're going to be able to feed whatever it is you want, right? Like, my dad was always that negative. Like, we had season tickets to the Braves ever since I was little. And he was the guy that just like, oh, we'll blow it in the ninth. Oh, we'll lose the wild card. Oh, we'll lose. Like it's just always that guy. And I'm just like, that's fine if that's who you are. You be your fan, whatever you need. But if you came out of this game and you're super upset, you won by double-digit points to a team that, if they won this game, would have been in first place of their division. Bryce Young was the NFC Player of the Week for the entire conference last week. 450 yards and 3 touchdowns. That dude threw for how many yards passed? 160 yards passing. That's it. He was 18 of 29. 1 touchdown, 2 picks. I don't know. like, I don't know what you want. Yeah, we want 2023, winning the game 42-6. Everybody wants that. That ain't happening this year. It's not going to. Yeah. Oh, shoot. I even forgot about this. Thank you, Ben. The 49ers were 9 games in a row. Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. 8 games. You bucked that trend. You've won back-to-back games since the first time since week 2 and week 3 this season. You're stacking wins. Stacking wins. Like, and yeah, I get it. Carolina is up and down. That is true. But they also beat the Cowboys. They beat the Falcons twice. Like, I'm not here to say, and I haven't said all week, that the Carolina Panthers are a good team or a bad team. What I said over and over again was the Carolina Panthers are a team without major downsides. Like, they don't have major holes in their roster. They don't have any superstars. They don't have any of them. but they don't have a bad defense. They don't have a bad offense. They're coached well. But yeah, they had a bad game. Niners controlled that. Niners controlled it. And so, yeah, they are up and down. But, dude, you've got to win the games on your schedule. Go back to before this season even started. The 49ers were banking on three things. Easy schedule. Well, part of that's playing Carolina. Congratulations. You had fourth place finish last year. You play a fourth place schedule. Number two, blue chip players. Well, CMC is a blue chip player. So is George Kittle. So is Trent Williams. Trent Williams was awesome today. Awesome. Those guys panned out, right? And great coaching. Guess how you won? Elite coaching from Robert Saleh. And it's not like every game from Robert Saleh has been awesome this year. Go back to that Rams game. He got taken to the woodshed on the board, X's and O's. McVay just, yeah, that was bad. Go to that Texans game. D'Amico, they poured it on him. But you look at the Cardinals game, you look at this Panthers game, you look at so many other games. You know, the first three wins of the season, Robert Saleh was attached to all those fourth quarter stops by the defense, all three of those wins. That's when you had Bosa, you had Warner, but now you're still finding ways to do it. And if you hold a team to under single digits, I don't give a damn who they are. That is badass. That is a badass week. That is a badass. How many teams were held to single digits? The Vikings, J.J. McCarthy, probably the worst quarterback in the NFL. That's it. Oh, the Bucs, seven. Their quarterback broke their arm and had all those turnovers. So you had three teams that were in single digits this week. And the 49ers defense was one of those. I don't know what you want. Like, the defense was awesome. Brock Purdy, yeah, the turnovers sucked. They're terrible. Christian McCaffrey's getting way too many touches. But you're winning games. You're winning games. And now you get to go on the road. You only have two road trips left. We have traveled so freaking much this year. Good gosh. But you've got six games left and only two road trips. That's it. You're not even, and you have a bye week. You're the only team in the playoff hunt that hasn't had their bye week yet. You finally get a rest. What if the Niners get hot? What if they get hot? You've won back-to-back games. Now you got Cleveland Titans. Dude, if you win Cleveland and the Titans, I don't give a damn if you go 0-3. You lose to the Colts, Bears, Seahawks. You're in the playoffs. Now, do you want to be 0-3 going into the playoffs? No. But you get in the dance, hey, weird shit happens. You get into the dance, weird shit happens. Period. You get two wins. Two wins out of the last five games. Sorry, five games. And then look at this. Who is the Drizzle says, we got five road games left. You're right. You get to the playoffs, you're going to be traveling because you ain't winning your division. So you're going to be traveling. It's possible to win your division, but I would not bet on it. Rams are playing freaking unreal right now. Yeah, we haven't talked about Brian Robinson today. Dude, seven carries, 40 yards, 5.7 yards per carry. Freaking awesome. Even had a catch for 4 yards on two targets. That's exactly what you want out of Brian Robinson. Dude, 7 to 10 carries. And I love that they got him carries on the first drive, second drive. Like, it was purposeful. Like, we're going to be running the ball. But you run the ball 38 times. Brock Purdy had 6 carries. Like, is anybody going to talk about the scrambling, the quarterback sneaks? Like, if you're worried about the toe, you don't call those plays. You don't call a quarterback sneak on 3rd and 2.5 and get it if you can't play it off the toe. So, like, for the tinfoil hat, can't, you know, turf toe interception correlation, whatever, that's bullshit. I'm telling you right now, and I don't know who's saying that or who's not saying it. I'm telling you right now, that does not hold water. For like how I made court all rise, like, bullshit. You're wrong, because you're not running the ball. And this, we didn't see this from Brock last week, right? The scrambling for the first downs, maybe on the second interception, perhaps he should have scrambled on that one anyway. But that's another thing. Like, if you see people out there saying, well, the toe and blah, 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 blah. One, the toe is fine. You're not running your quarterback 6 times and scrambling and calling quarterback sneaks late in the fourth quarter if turf toe is still bothering them. And two, for the people like, well, it's just his arm's not as strong enough. His arm's never been strong enough. Never. Nothing has changed there. Like, he ain't going to change. And people will be like, well, his arm got stronger after the cert. No, this ain't rookie of the year. This ain't Rowan Gardner out there freaking throwing fastballs on the Cubs in the 1990s, whatever. No, he's never had a strong arm. So if you are a part of that camp, stay in that camp. He's never had it. He's never going to have it, right? It's just what it is. It's just what it is. So right here, Snoopy, appreciate you, man. He says, do you think Kyle at any point thought to bench Purdy? No. Coaches don't think that way. Fans think that way. Coaches don't. If you're making bad choices, Jimmy Garoppolo, whatever else, like Garoppolo made terrible choices because he couldn't see the field. Brock Purdy's interceptions were not bad choices. They were poor execution. So you work on that. Like Brock Purdy's made all of those throws in his career. All of them. None of them were bad choices. They were bad execution, bad throws. But again, the correlation between whatever it is you want to design to that. Now, if he goes out there and makes bad choices and whatever else, and we've seen him make bad choices. Like, this was not that. This was not that. Right here, Thomas. Appreciate you, Thomas. Says, I'm not a Purdy fan, but he boogied on that first down run and cracked his smile. Yeah, and like getting wins, when you're in a locker room, and you get a win that perhaps you shouldn't have, or that you're just like, whew, it got ugly there for a second. It's just such a like, man, imagine if we just play to our standard. This not a game. And guess what, guys? You've got the Browns, bye week, Titans. It's what the doctor ordered. Browns, bye week, Titans. They got 4 wins between the 3 weeks. I don't know, man. I don't know. Right here, Drizzle says, any word on Sammo? He had the ankle. You could tell it was bothering him, but he came back on the sidelines. I don't know if you guys caught this. There was a throw out of bounds. I don't remember if it was us or them, but like he went to go catch it. He was jumping around, and it was like, Sam, what the hell are you doing? I know you're a defensive lineman, and anytime you get a touch of football, you always like jump at that chance, but it's like, I don't think his ankle's super bad now. Is it going to flare up or whatever else? And you got to travel to Cleveland on a short week. And, you know, all those are legitimate, whatever. But however his ankle was, I don't think that it's that bad. Not a doctor. Yeah, whatever. But I'm just telling you, dude's jumping around, trying to catch, you know, errant passes on the sideline in the fourth quarter. I don't think it's that bad. It's just defensive end. You got to be careful right now. Because you are stacking injuries. Bosa, obviously Mikael Williams, Etur Gross Matos, Robert Beal Jr. is out with a concussion. Sam O's out. I mean, you got 5 out of top 6 defensive ends are out. Cleveland Farrell's getting sacks out there, right? Like, yeah, it's rough. And yeah, Jason, like, I know the 49ers don't travel well to Cleveland. And it's crazy, like, just getting the flights there and all those things. And it's been, you ain't won there since, like, the 80s. It's weird. It's weird. But we're going to be there. We're going to be loud as hell for the 49ers. If you're going to Cleveland, if you're anywhere around Cleveland, we need you to come out. Game day tickets are cheap as hell. So, like, if you're balling on a budget, like, this is a game to go to. Just what it is. So, you know, you look at, we're going to be out at Butcher and the Brewer Saturday, the 29th, 3 to 7 p.m. Come join us out in 4th Street. And then our unlimited tailgate, drinks, food, you name it, at the Dive Bar Cleveland on 6th Street. It's just right across the street from the stadium. We'll be walking over there after partying, having a good time. And it's indoors, so even if it is raining, come join us. And then we'll go over to the stadium, enjoy. But we need to be loud. We need to be loud. That fan base, man, I want to win in Cleveland. You get 2 wins out of the next 5, you're in. You get 3, crazy stuff could happen. I'm just saying. And yeah, Ben, maybe Etur Gross Matos back after the bye? Maybe? Yeah, a guy could hope. Man, he would be huge. And obviously, probably going to get Robert Beal Jr. back. I think that's a big deal. But yeah, man, oh, look at this. Jason says, I'll be there. Can't wait. Love it, love it, love it, love it. I want to keep Purdy alive in Cleveland. Wind would be good. I'm just concerned about the run, the rain. That's it. Precipitation, got to limit what you got going on. David says, I'm very proud of you. That's a great start. You can do it, buddy. Let's go, let's go. You guys are the best. 49ers win. You're 8-4. It's going to be a busy short week. We fly out Friday after Thanksgiving with Thanksgiving. All of our video breakdowns are still going to be up as scheduled. Hopefully that film pops up early in the morning. Every offensive play, defensive play, special teams play will be broken down. Coaches tape, all 22 in zone on the 49ersrush.com. As soon as you sign up, you get access to everything. 4+ years, every single play is on there. This week will be up there. Bets of the week up there. We made money again this week. Didn't go perfect, but 4-6, not bad, not bad. Celebrate with us, bet with us. And all that is up at the 49ersrush.com or on our Patreon channel. Niners win 8-4, baby. It's a celebration in the playoff hunt. Control your own destiny. Still got a bye week. I love it. Enjoy this victory. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters' 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.